Second Peter chapter 1, if you have your Bibles this morning, the Lord is kind of speaking something. And he's been speaking, you know, kind of unusual things to us, but God is, but you know, every service we come in here, God has been here and has been moving in a great way. And I was reading this first few verses here the other night, and I just want to share this with you. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. Somebody say all things.
All things.
That pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, just to be in your house, Lord. We feel your presence, Lord, already. Lord, we believe that you've got something good for us yet, Lord, before we leave this place. Lord, and we just want the Holy Spirit to be able to move and to be able to have his way, to anoint everything that we'd say or do, Lord. Lord, let there be freedom and liberty. We claim it together right now, God. Let your presence just fill this place before we're done. Lord, just give us, Lord, just relevant revelation today. We claim it together in Jesus' name. You know, first of all, we've got to identify that this is Peter talking here. He's writing, you know, to the believers. And he makes it clear just how important that it is to have the knowledge of God in Jesus our Lord. He goes on to tell them in verse 2, one of my favorite verses, that grace and peace, grace, that wonderful unmerited favor. How many want God's favor on your life? Yeah. That wonderful grace and peace multiplied. You know, when you got grace and you got the favor of the Lord, you're going to have peace. You just know everything's going to be all right because God is on you. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. And you're going, everything, it says grace and peace be multiplied through knowledge of him. In verse 3, his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. We gain knowledge of him. Now, we know this by prayer, by the Spirit that dwells within us. We gain knowledge of him through the Word of God. How many believe that God wants to put something in your spirit before you leave here this morning? You can take home with you. Come on, somebody, help me. We've got a president that takes things home with him. So we want to make sure we take our word home with us. And we find out, church, that we gain knowledge of God even through other believers. How many realize the Bible tells us that we are made the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony? And we are supposed to be able to be that light, that city that's set on a hill, church. We're supposed to be an example to those around us. We're supposed to bring knowledge of God to those around us. I believe in the day that we're living in right now, there's one thing that God is wanting, and that is to be recognized. Somebody listen to me. God is wanting to be revealed through his people. God is revealed through you and I. I believe that God wants to be recognized. In verse 4, he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What, these are the things that we need to know. That by these you might be able to be partakers of the divine nature. See, there's a reason for this. See, there's a reason that God wants us to begin to know him in a greater way so that we can take on his nature. You know, when God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, he was literally saying that we're expected to function like God. When he said, let's make man in our likeness, in our image, in our likeness, he's expecting us to function like him. If we are not functioning like God, then we are malfunctioning. Somebody listening to me. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. So he gives us his peace. We have his joy. We're supposed to be able to function. Peter knew, church, what he was talking about. Peter had firsthand knowledge, even as he begins to write this. Begins to remind me of that one great portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 14, how that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into that ship and go to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent the multitude away, he went to the mountain to pray. In the evening, he was there alone. But the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus comes walking across the water to them. Boy, get this. All of a sudden, they see him coming. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Yeah. They found this hard to believe. They said, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. Straightway, Jesus said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter says unto him, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter got out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But just thinking about this, see, right away, Peter wants to know for sure. How many has ever got to the point that you want to know what God wants you to do? You want direction. How many realize, church, that we need direction? We need God to give us direction. He has a plan and a purpose for our life. And he is, as we seek him, church, he will begin to reveal those things. You'll begin to feel that urgency of the Spirit when God wants you to do something and how God wants. And he will begin to reveal those things. He's wanting knowledge. He's wanting to know. I want to make sure before I do anything that this is really God. Oh, anybody feel that way? You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be making a move in yourself. If you've got a major decision, you need to get God's direction on that thing. You need to get God's will on that thing. God, is this something you want me to do? I told you about all the things, the times that here I've been looking at houses. And before I do anything, I want to make sure God's leading me and guiding me and directing me. I don't want it if it's not you. As bad as I want it. Anybody? If that ain't God, I don't care how good it looks. If that's not God, I don't want it. And this is what God, this is part of the knowledge of God. When you get to the point that you begin to know God, you begin to realize God knows what's best for me. You grow in knowledge, you begin to realize real quick, I can make real big mistakes if I do things by myself or in my own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Come on, somebody, trust in him. Is this what it's talking about? It's talking about this knowledge, church, of him. And before, Peter, upon receiving knowledge, proceeded to walk according to his divine nature. Once Peter finds out that this is God, he gets out of the boat and begins to walk according to his divine nature. I believe, church, from creation that God gave man power to subdue, to rule, to dominate the earth. Genesis 1:26 to 1:28 says, "Let them rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth." So God has given us power, church. For a moment, Peter was walking in the same divine nature as Christ. Christ comes walking across the water, and here's Peter all of a sudden. He's doing the very same thing. He's walking the same way, walking in that same divine nature. And he's subduing his environment. Think about that. Something that was controlling him just a few moments before this, that horrible, storm that they were in, the winds and the waves, which had them to the point, they were doing everything that they could to survive. Now he's controlling that. He's over that. He was walking in his likeness, functioning like Christ. I believe that God has given us the power against any opposition. No matter what comes my way, greater is he that's in me. Come on, somebody. We got to understand this, that no matter what comes against us, no matter what kind of elements come against us, but like many believers today, it only lasted a short time until he began to malfunction. And when he got out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Are you reading this? Beginning to sink. And it's all because he saw. We look around us today, church. We look around us and our present world is boisterous. This world that we're living in is designed to destroy our potential. Somebody listening to me. To keep us from fulfilling our destiny. What God has called us to do. What God called them to do? Get in the ship and go to the other side. But there's then the environment that we're living in today. Satan attacks us, church, using this environment that we are in today. Today there's an attempt to use the environment as another way for the government to gain control. Somebody listening to this. You know, first of all, they start with wanting to do away with fossil fuel. They want to do away with the gas-powered cars. Did you hear the other day that now they want to do, they want to ban gas stoves? Well, just think about it. I don't know if they expect them to go to house and see if you've got gas or electric or what it is. But they'd like to ban gas. You know, I found out one thing, church. How far we let Satan go will determine how far that we are able to go. Did you hear me? Because sometimes, church, the enemy is going to come against you on a daily basis. And it depends on, church, on how far we're going to be able to go in this life by how far we're willing to let him go. You know, our five senses are designed to pick up, you know, this natural environment. You know, our powers of sight and touch and smell and taste and hearing are all related to the natural world. The potential to our natural body is often governed or limited by our physical capabilities, by what we see and by what we hear and by what we feel. How many realize you can't go by what you feel? Because one day you may wake up and you may feel real good and you may have a good day because of that. The next day you may wake up and you don't feel good and you end up having a miserable day. How many know you can't go by feeling? Oh, my goodness. God never intended man to be controlled or limited by our physical limitations. We're not created, church, to be intimidated or by our current environment. Current environment. In other words, church, God doesn't want you being hindered or stopped from fulfilling your destiny by some of your current situation. Some of you know what I'm talking about. How many have been struggling with your current situation? Oh, Pastor, I'm struggling right now with my current situation. I don't have a job. I need a job, or I need my relationship is struggling, or I'm going through a real physical thing right now. Well, church, I believe that God never intended. He intended, you know what it is? In the beginning, it started with a piece of fruit that started with a lie from Satan and ended up with the eye, seeing that it looked good and for food and pleasant to the eye. But the fall of man contaminated his environment and poisoned the atmosphere of his potential. But then came Jesus. Did you hear me? We know what man's fault. We know what happened, church, when Adam goes and Eve and they take that fruit and they're cast out of the garden and from God's presence. But God didn't want to leave us like that. He sends Jesus. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, in all things are of God who has reconciled us to him by Christ Jesus. Yes. Did you hear that? So he sent Jesus to bring us back into that place with him. We have the potential by calling out to him. See, this is what happens with Peter. He's in a situation, you know, where he steps out of the boat and suddenly he's in control of his environment. All of a sudden, that thing that was controlling him and making him fearful and troubled and bothered, you know, all of a sudden, he's controlling that. But then he gets his eyes off the Lord for one second, and he begins to look once again at his environment, and it begins to take him under. But do we realize, church, that when he started, the Bible said when he beginning to sink, he cried out to Jesus, Lord, help me. Did you see this, church? We have the potential by calling out to him. By receiving him as our Savior. By causing him to church to bring us back into right standing with God. Oh, I'm going to get you back up on that thing that's taking you down under. I'm going to get you back up. I'm going to get you in a place where you can stand. Where you're not just able to stand, but you're able to walk. Some Bible even tells me, church, I can get to the point that I'm actually running. Anybody listening to me? I can run and not grow weary. I can walk and not faint. I believe God's got some great things for us, church, and I'm in a hurry to receive those things. Anybody else? And he's telling us here, church, to once again that we have the power to subdue the earth. When we accept Christ as our Savior, church, he's given us power, meaning that if the earth is in any way dominating us, we are malfunctioning. Somebody help me on that. We were not created to be controlled by earthly forces. Come on, child of God, get with me on that. I said, we were not created to be controlled by earthly forces. We were not created to give in to drugs or alcohol or nicotine or sex or money or power or greed or jealousy or anger or fear. God didn't create us for our past to control us. For our current physical condition or our current financial state, if we are controlled by these things, then we are malfunctioning. This is why, church, that all of a sudden, you know, you come to a stop, you come to a standstill, because we're allowing these things to control us. Then we're not able, we come to a stop in the middle of things. Because we're allowing this to control us and to stop us from fulfilling what he's called us to do. Go to the other side. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for you right now. But we cannot allow our current situation or our current standing or our current condition to keep us from everything that God has for us. I'm going to know what I'm talking about. I'm reading this, church, and I'm beginning to understand this. And how many have ever said, oh, pastor, it's always something. Anybody ever say that? Oh, it's always something. You know, that has a note of resignation to it, doesn't it? Yes. Next time you're tempted to say it's always something, that means you're resigned to the fact that it's always something. It's here and there's nothing you can do about it. Or it's just inevitable. It's like I was talking earlier. It's like people that are expecting bad news, expecting bad things to happen. You're expecting those things that you're going through right now to continue. Am I talking to anybody? God doesn't want you in a situation. You may be in the worst condition that you've ever been in. Maybe physical or financial or emotional. Maybe you're going through the worst period you've ever, but you cannot be in that place and know God and expect to stay that way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because if you know God, church, you know that change is coming. That you're not going to stay that way, that he is going to see you through with God. Oh. That's the only way, church, that all of a sudden you regain control over that situation, over that condition, over that environment. You know what, church? If we give in to the things that are going on around us, we'll get to the place we'll be afraid to leave the house. Wait a minute, I can't go out of the house unless I'm armed and dangerous. Huh? The world's got to the place, you know, now that, you know, I believe, you know, people probably feel that if somebody rings my doorbell, they're going to get both barrels. God doesn't want that with his people. I don't believe we have to live in fear like that. I'm not going to let fear control your life. Anybody know what I mean? Well, pastor, I've only become afraid because of my condition. Well, that's what was happening to them, wasn't it? And the Bible said that when they saw Jesus, they got troubled and they got afraid. Jesus told them, don't be afraid of me. Yes. Church, we cannot be afraid. If we know him, then we shouldn't have any fear. Is this all right? Because I know that he's in control of everything. He's got power. See, this is the thing with Peter. This is why he cries out, because he realizes that the environment has no control over him. Jesus wasn't sinking. Jesus still walking on him. See, we got to understand. We got to know that. And this is something here that Peter's talking about. This is what he's trying to encourage them about. We got that. That is why knowing God is so important. What did he say? His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him. All things. All things counters something. Oh, it's always something. All things. He has given us, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises that we might be partakers of his divine nature. That you and I, church, can walk in that divine nature. How many know what I mean? Anybody getting this with me this morning? I believe, church, that we can be in a place this morning that we can just walk through. It doesn't matter what's coming against us, that we have power over our circumstances. That we have power over the all power of the enemy. This is something, church, that God wants us to begin to understand, to be able to understand that we do not have to allow these conditions and these circumstances to control us. I don't have to wake up in the morning and decide to give in to those things and allow the enemy to have my day or my week or my year. How many's made up your mind? This is going to be the most productive year you've ever had. How many know as soon as you decide that, that the enemy is going to do everything he can to make sure that that don't happen? Oh, but we realize, church, that no matter what he throws at us, no matter what he brings against us, that we have power over that. How many has found that out in your life? And since you've come to Jesus, and all the things that God has already done for you, anybody still? That's called knowledge, isn't it? You've already experienced what the word is talking about. You've already gone through some of this thing. I can't tell you all the things that I have gone through in my life. And I saw God begin. I'm at the point right now, church, I can trust God for whatever it is. No matter how stupid it may seem. Anybody? I love to tell the story about the time that I had my freezer. Somebody gave me a freezer, like the little one we've got back in the fellowship hall. Beautiful, nice little freezer. So I'm thinking, well, if God gave me a freezer, then God's going to give me something to put in it outside of ice cubes. So the next thing I know, God gives me a side of beef. Somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I had roast. And I had, you know, steaks and burger, and I was eating good. But didn't he say he'd give me all things that pertain to life? Come on, somebody. And my wife and I, it was when we were young in the ministry, and we were struggling, and we were living in a little duplex, and we put it in there, but I was eating real good. But one day we come in there and into the house, and she said, you know, I smell something rotten. And finally, I smelled it too. She's got that nose that smells everything ahead of time. I think she can smell it before it ever happens. But I started smelling it too. See, it didn't bother me when she was smelling it. Anybody? But once I started smelling it, wait a minute, we got to find out what this is. Isn't that funny how that works? Yeah. That's like, if it's bugging somebody else, it's, well, I'm praying for you, sis. But man, when it starts happening to me, look out, that's a whole different deal. Yeah. I come in there, what is that? My head's always plugged up. And I could smell that. And we start searching through the house. I said, there's something wrong here. I thought maybe it was a bottle or a diaper or something. And finally, I found it. I come up to my freezer, and it's my meat. One of my sons were young at that time, had gotten adventurous, went back there, and unplugged my power. And my meat started going bad. Some of you haven't heard the story. Now you're getting it. And I said, it's my meat. And we didn't know what to do with the freezer. You just couldn't get rid of it like that. And so finally, one day, my wife went to the store, and she come back, and she, in the house was smelling better. And she said, what happened? And of course, you know, I got real proud. You know how you do when you. I got rid of it. She said, how'd you get rid of it? I said, well, I opened the sliding door, and I pulled it out, and I shoved it out into the backyard. Next thing you know, it starts smelling the backyard. Because it's 120 in Arizona. And that food starts cooking in there. It got to the point that it was stinking up the whole neighborhood. See, God's trying to let you know something here, church, that sometimes, you know, you may have some stuff in your life that just doesn't affect just you. Knowledge of him. Anybody know what I mean? Might not just be you. And a lot of times, we know we like the quick fix. We'll just, you know, put it aside somewhere. No, God wants you to get rid of it completely before you start messing up somebody else's life. It got to the point that it smelled so bad, when we turned the corner and come down the block, we could smell it. And I told her, I said, we got to get rid of that. They're going to think we have a dead body in there. We didn't want that. So one day, I start praying about it. Is this okay? I said, God, you're going to have to, you're going to have to help me get rid of this. Come on, this is one of those situations I'm telling the church that you can take control over. Yes. Yes. Is this okay with anybody? Yes. I'm taking on his divine nature. I don't believe his divine nature is for me to have something in my life that's going to stink. He wants us to be a sweet-smelling savor unto him. Yes. Yes. I start praying, God, you're going to have to help me get rid of this. You know, there are things in your life that you could not get rid of on your own. It takes God.
That's right.
There are things that's going to mess up your life, mess up your environment, mess up those around you that you cannot get rid of in yourself. It's going to take God. God, you're going to have to deliver me from that. You're going to have to set me free from that. Come on, if fear is coming into your life in such a way, church, that it's causing you to be a bad odor. Come on, that'll happen. If fear is controlling your life, it will get you to the point, church, that you will begin to reek. You'll begin to affect people around you. Anybody want to be controlled by a spirit of fear to the point that you make people around you afraid? I've seen it. I've seen people so controlled by a spirit of fear that people around them became afraid. Well, God doesn't want that. He doesn't want you and I, church, conducting ourselves in that. Anyways, I start praying. God, I got to get rid of that thing. You got to help me. You got to make a way for me. And all of a sudden, one day I'm praying, and I hear a truck pull up. It's one of my church men. And he pulls up, and I said, "Have you got your truck with you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Pull around back." I said, "I got something I got to get rid of." So he pulls around back, and he comes up, and he said, "What's that smell?" I said, "That's what we got to get rid of. I don't even want to know what it is." So we pick up that freezer. We pick up that freezer, and it's 100 degrees outside. And we pick that thing up, and it reeks. And my friend was taller than me, so he tipped back on me, and the juice started running out of I hope nobody was going to the Golden Arches after church. I said, "Get this thing on the truck." We get it on the truck. He said, "Where are we going?" I said, "To the dump." Straight to the... We get to the dump, and I swear, I could almost see those people. They smelled me coming, and they just... But I got that thing out of my life. And do you understand, church, that God is concerned over all these things? If it concerns me, it concerns him. He said he would perfect all those things that concern me. Do we understand, church, that there are things in our life that you might be, I'll just put it mildly, concerned with? I don't want to say you're worried about it or you're afraid about it, but you're concerned about it. Maybe some things like right now. Maybe you're sitting here and you're concerned about how you're going to eat after you leave here, after you just heard my story. Pastor, we're having roast beef today for lunch. Anyways, do we understand? Anybody getting this a better? through knowledge of him. See, church, I had been to the point that even though I was young in the ministry, I had been in the ministry all my life. I knew what God was able to do. Yes. Knowledge. He would give me all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him. So there's no situation, church, no matter how big or how small, it doesn't matter, church, if it's something simple like that or something major in your life. It can get to the point that something simple can become something major. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many know God's still able? So we come to that knowledge, church, that we're not going to allow that to control us. We're going to take authority over it. Is that what he's given us, church? Power and authority in the name of Jesus. I give you the authority to use my name. That's what he told them. He told his disciples. They begin to get this. They begin to understand this. And he says, whereby we are given unto us great and precious promises that we might be partakers. He gave us promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. That I see the way Jesus handle things, I can handle things that way. Come on, I should be able to do that. Anybody? I should be able to resist the devil and him flee. He come against the Lord, and the Lord used the word against him. It is written, you got to go. That's divine nature. This is the way I do things. Gives us, whereby are given unto us precious promises, that we might be partakers of his divine nature. What's the precious promises? Listen to what he says here in Matthew 16. He's talking to his disciples. Jesus came to his disciples and he said, who do men say I am? And some of the disciples said, well, some of them said you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets that's just come back. And he said, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you getting this, church? Somebody knows. Peter's got knowledge. I just walked on water with him. This is in 16, and Matthew 14 is when he came across. I know who I'm talking about. Come on, somebody. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. This is one of those promises I'm talking about. But Peter, church, he had that firsthand knowledge. I just had an experience with him. I just was in a position where I was in control. I was walking real good. I was walking according to his nature. But I got my eyes off him, and I got my eyes on my environment, and I began to sink. But I cried out to him, yes. Lord, save me. And he reached down, and he pulled me out, and once again brought me into right standing with God. Somebody getting this with me. This is the promises that he said. I know him. This is how church did. And he begins to receive a blessing. Blessed art thou. Church, this is how you receive. Anybody need blessed? You want a blessing? Anybody need a big blessing? Come on, let me see a hand in the play. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody got two of them up. Double portion. I want it all. But this is coming from what? From knowledge. He's given us what? A promise here, church. As we open up the Word of God, we begin to understand what the Lord is speaking to you and I, even on this Sunday morning. According as his divine power has given unto us all things. Say it again, all things. All things. It didn't say some things or little things or a few things. It said all things. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of him, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers of that divine nature. That we could start walking like Jesus and talking like Jesus and being victorious like Jesus and having power over my situation, no matter what it is, like Jesus. They came to him, church, in the garden, and he's coming out of there, and he said, "You, the only power that you have is the power that I give you." He said, "I laid down my life. I could call upon the Father, and he would send 10,000 angels to come down. You've got the only the power you have is what I give you." Well, think about this. We got, and that's his nature. And he's trying to convince us, church, to walk in his nature. By what? Through knowledge of him. How many know what a wonderful Savior that we have? Amen. How many realize, church, that yes, man had a fall, but Jesus came and brought us back. When he died upon the cross and said it was finished, and the veil was rent in two, church, the work of the cross was finished. He goes, church, and he lays down his life for you and I, that you and I, church, could stand here today and be partakers of his divine nature. I can walk out of here and I can have joy. I can walk out of here and I can have peace. I can walk out of here in the power and authority, and nothing that the enemy can bring against me, church, has power to wreck my day. You can walk out of here and say, "It is well." Isn't that right? It is well. That's like the little woman in the Bible, church, that came to the man of God. Her little son had died. She laid him on the man of God's bed, got on a donkey, went to the man of God. He said, "How's things going?" "It is well. I got a dead body on the bed, but it is well." He said, "Okay." Some of you know what I'm talking about this morning. Some of you got some stuff right now that looks like it's just laying there dead. But you come here today and pastor's saying it is well. Partakers. That we can be partakers of that divine nature. Church, that we don't see things as they are, but how God can make those things. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? So I'm looking at this, and here he is. This is Peter talking. Peter's the one that wrote this when we were reading about it. According to his divine power, he's given us all things. He's the one who wrote this. He understood. He knew. He had knowledge. And he was trying to get them, encourage them to gain that same knowledge. Somebody get in your Bible and find out what a mighty God we serve.
Yeah, come on.
Somebody get into prayer and find out what a mighty God we serve. This is why, church, that you're in church this morning, that I might share something with you about what a mighty God we serve. And is willing to share his nature with, "I want you to be like me." Man. So stop being worried and fearful and stressed and depressed and... You don't have to. You got power over that. Amen. You, through knowledge of him, you know that you do. Well, pastor, the only reason I'm fearful or depressed is because of my situation. You got power over that thing. Don't let that control you. You control it. I got joy anyhow over it. I got peace anyhow over it. Come on, somebody. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've got bills and you've got to pay... Welcome to the club. We're all there. Amen. We've got things every day that we believe God for.
Oh, yes.
We're not going to allow our day to be ruined because of something, $25 that I owe somebody, or $100 or $1,000. Well, pastor, now you're talking... Did it say all things?
All things.
With God, all things
are possible.
Come on. Paul said, I can do all things. He said he would give me all things that pertain to life. 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 Everything I need for my life. Come on, somebody. Maybe somebody needs it. Maybe you need a new blanket. Go to God with it. Come on.
Amen.
Something small. Maybe you need a new car. Anybody? That just shows you all things. Here's Peter now. He's receiving a promise to be a partaker. He said, I'm going to get, because of the knowledge, because of the revelation that you received, I'm giving you keys to the kingdom. That you have power, that whatsoever you bind on earth. This wasn't just for Peter. When he talks about Peter being that rock and that he built the church on, it wasn't Peter. It was that revelational knowledge that he had received. Church, when you and I come to the point, it wasn't just Peter. It wasn't saying, but, you know, there are religions today that think, well, you know, St. Peter, he was the... No, that's talking about revelational knowledge. This is what he's talking about. Anybody that comes to that point that you have gained knowledge through him, you suddenly have power to be a partaker of the divine knowledge, of that divine nature. Church, here, God's letting us know. Anybody getting this? See, this morning, God's letting us know that we have power, that whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I agree. That's what he's saying. Yes. Whatsoever we loose on earth. I don't know about anybody else. I'm binding some things and I'm loosing some things. Yes. I've done it this morning at 12 o'clock in the morning. Coming into my new day. I'm up there. Some of you are home. Solid logs. I'm there in my little cold bathroom with my little prayer shawl on, saying, Lord, I bind that. Whatsoever bound is bound on earth is bound in heaven. I got power to take authority over that thing that's troubling, that would love to come and trouble me and trouble my home. And I bind that thing. And I lose freedom. I lose blessings. Come on, somebody. Problem is, a lot of times we haven't done it. We haven't been partaking. We might know it, but we've got to partake of it. Emily said this morning, you can't sit there and be a spectator. You got to be a participator.
Yes.
Partaker of his divine nature. I'm at his ready this morning. You realize, Pastor, I realized this morning that I don't have to sit there and let that thing control me. I got power to take control over it. Anybody ready to do that this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Bow your heads with me. Stand to your feet with me real quick if you can in the place this morning.